Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
Well, I'm back from an almost 3-week vacation, and if you tried to listen to this show last week, you probably didn't get too far. And I know there were a number of people out there who were trying to listen to the show and didn't get it because the sound was not working. I'm hopeful that the sound is working today, because this is, by the way, a rebroadcast. Although it's new, I am not just plugging in the old show that from last week that no one could hear. I am going to rebroadcast this, and this show is today previously recorded. So when you're hearing this, you can't call in. But you can still write to me. You can still write to stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear what your comments are. As usual, before we really get into today's show, which is kind of revelatory for me, I want to mention that we are, as always, supported by our friends at Xander Business Group. They provide social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. That's for you parents out there who think you know what your children are doing on social media. So if you're not sure, A, what they're doing, or B, how you can find out what they're doing on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, of course, and all those other things, Pinterest or whatever it is that's out there these days. There's new ones every day. But you know that it's a very dangerous thing for your child, your minor child, to be posting stuff out there. And it's also detrimental for adults because, you know, businesses look at these things. This is all about your child now, and if you have a child you want to protect, remember that the internet never forgets. It's even more important now, therefore, for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety and online reputation. So you'll want to contact Xander Business Group for more information. That's Xander, X-A-N-D-E-R, Business Group. You can call them at 760-865-9614, or you can email them. Info, at Xander, that's with an X, xanderbusinessgroup.com. Okay, so while I was on vacation, I did a lot of soul searching. And one of the things I've been toying about in my mind for a while, but this, it came to the forefront of, apparently while I was just lounging around on a beach in Hawaii, but the fact of the matter is, I can't live this double life anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, Rocky Benisher is not my real name. A number of people out there do know my real name. I've shared it with some people, and some of the guests that I've had on already knew me in my real name. And I thought when I started to do this show, which was almost a year ago, next month will be 1 year of Stage Right, and I'm planning a best of Stage Right retrospect for the first year, and talk about some of the things we've accomplished in the first year, humble though they may be. But when I first got the idea to do a show like this, I said, well, you know, I know a number of people in theater, and I don't want to be ostracized or cast aside by those in theater who would ordinarily talk to me, but then they found out that I was a conservative in the theater, that would be detrimental to me. And then I realized that in the age of Caitlyn Jenner, that what am I afraid of? You know, and why would I not reveal who I am? And people know it anyway. And it's not as though I disguise my voice. So I have decided that from now on, Rocky Benisher is going to be retired and made And instead, the host of this show will be the true host of this show with his real name, which I'm going to reveal in a minute. It's no big deal. I'm not some kind of famous person who's, oh my God, that's what he's a conservative, you know. But Rocky Benisher worked well, but, you know, it's just a kind of a, in some ways, a funny name for a guy like me. I mean, I'm not a Rocky kind of guy. My real name is Robert Cooperman. I am originally from Queens, New York, and I am a teacher. I have a PhD from the Ohio State University. My expertise is English and theater. My work has been pretty much on modern drama, although I have published in the past on other non-modern playwrights like John Marston. But I am specifically someone who was interested and has loved the theater since I was very young. And my conservatism has not in any way gotten in the way of my love for theater. It's also not prevented me from having friends and colleagues who differ in opinion greatly. I'm not about to leave them. The question is, are they about to leave me? We know that there are some people out there, particularly on the left, who are more than happy to ostracize the right and make bold and broad statements about what the right believes and who we are as conservatives. That was brought home to me pretty clearly by Kara Bluen when we interviewed her a number of months ago, because Kara said that certain people said they would not talk to her anymore, and certain theaters said they would not work with her anymore because she put on the Republican Theater Festival. So, in the name of tolerance, of course, that must be. So, I decided that it's time to just say who I am, let the chips fall where they may, and let the people who know me either accept me for who I am or go away. And it's really as simple as that. Now, where the heck did the name Rocky Benisher come from? Well, it is actually a kind of an anglicized version or translation of my Hebrew name. I've made it no a secret on the show that I am Jewish and proud of that. And my Hebrew name is Rachmiel Ben Usher. And what that means is Rachmiel is the first name, the Hebrew name. It has the same initial as Robert, but it's not, doesn't mean Robert. It means Rachmiel. The next part of my name, Ben Usha, is the way that you will hear folks say their name in Hebrew. Ben means son of. This is for guys. Ben means son of, and Usha was my father's name. My father's Hebrew name was Usha Lemel. We don't need the Lemel, but we just use the Usha. So my late father. And so my name then is Rachmiel Ben Usha. And I think you can hear that I didn't know what to do with Rachmiel, so I made it Rocky and Benisher, Ben Usha, Benisher. I came up with Rocky Benisher. It's funny because a number of people that I spoke with, most prominently I recall C.J. Ehrlich, who was a playwright we discussed, but we had chatted via email. She did not come on the show, but she said, what kind of name is a Jewish guy, Rocky? And so, you know, but that's not the reason why I decided. Why I decided it is because it's just going to make my life easier now, believe it or not. I am, as I mentioned before, a playwright. And I'm starting now to get very serious about it. And what I mean by that is I've always been serious about it. But for God's sakes, I have spent a great deal of my 52 years not pursuing playwriting the way I should. I've won some contests. Don't know why. that reluctance has always been there. That reluctance is about to go away. First of all, I'd like to announce on this show that one of my short plays, a play by the name of The Flower Stand, it is not particularly conservative in theme. It's just a beautiful little play, and it is it has been selected for the New York New Works Theater Festival. And that is a very exciting thing. I found out about that because I had just finished ascending Diamond Head on the island of Oahu. And something made me look at my email, my home email on my cell phone. And I saw this, and that was a thrill. And so I, Robert Cooperman, wrote this play. That's the name I use. So, I mean, how, you know, so Robert wrote the play, Rocky is talking about it. It just was starting to get to me, you know. And so back to this, the New York New Works Festival. So what that means is that I am with a group of about 40 other playwrights. I can, having met or at least seen these folks, I can tell you I'm probably the only conservative in the bunch. This is, you know, these are not ridiculous odds, you know, 40 to 1. It's just the way it is, right? I don't know for a fact, but you can just kind of tell sometimes. But what we are going to do, this is a competitive showcase. So we will be performing in mid-August at the Times Square Cultural Center, which is on 43rd Street and 8th Avenue in New York City. There will be one performance of my play. I will be in the play. So will my daughter. My daughter is, her name is Heather. She is an actress to be. She is entering Wright State University in late August to pursue a BFA in acting. And I thought this would be a great opportunity for her to play one of the two parts. It's clearly the lead of this show. She plays Eliza, the young flower salesperson. Eliza, get it? And I play Mr. Goldberg, the 80-year-old person who buys flowers from her. And the play is all about Eliza trying to figure out why Mr. Goldberg buys a bouquet every single day. And because she's a young person, she's always wrong. So that's what the play is about. So we have one performance somewhere in mid-August, anywhere from August 17th through the end of the month. The plays are judged not only by the audience that comes to see them, but by a group of theater professionals. Now, look, I'm not in theater enough to know any of the names that were on that list, but I did find out for some friends that one or two of them are big producers. They work on all kinds of theatrical events. There is one actor, and I have heard of him, Mr. Hinton Battle, musical theater performer, who's one of the judges. So that's exciting, and this is kind of once-in-a-lifetime kind of a thing. So one of the things I had to do was travel to New York. And let me, as you probably know, if you buy tickets, plane tickets, anywhere a week before you have to go anywhere, you're going to pay a lot of money. So the flight cost me $700. And but anyway, I went to the meeting that was mandatory. It lasted 1 hour. And I learned a little bit more about the theater and the people I'm working with, et cetera. We're going to rehearse the show in Columbus because I live in Columbus, Ohio. I've said that before. We're going to rehearse the show at Columbus. And then we're going to bring it over to New York as many as three times if we keep making the cut. So the first performance is in mid to late August. If the judges, the audience, and the panel of professionals deems it worthy, the play will go on to a semifinal round. At that point, if it's again deemed worthy, it will go on to a final round. The winner will get $500, very prestigious. I've already spent more than $500 to do this. I also have to give them an entrance fee of $260. If I'm going to work with a tech person, that's another $40. So you see what this is. But they are allowing it to be presented, and it does get noticed. So there's no reason for Rocky Benisher to have to talk about this anymore. And Robert Cooperman is now out of the closet, and that's who I am, and that's my play. So any of my listeners from New York, we will announce when the date is of the first performance. It's not yet known. But once we find out, we will announce it, and perhaps you'd like to come, and I'd be delighted to meet you. I know that I've already spoken with or written to Cara Bluen, says she's going to try to come. David Marcus, who is a prestigious friend of this show and a great blogger on The Federalist, or article writer, I should say, on The Federalist, he said he would try to come. So I really hope that you listeners out there, if you're in the New York area, New York City or surrounding area, the tri-state area, Philadelphia, wherever you might be nearby, when we announce the show, come on down and take a look at my piece and let's talk. okay, so more about, this is a show about me today. Okay? This is a show about me. So what I'm trying to do, as you know, is find the conservative niche, the conservative movement in theater. I think it is, and it's no secret that I think it is just as legitimate and important to be at the theatrical table as LGBT, women's discussion of women's issues, discussion of minority issues. I think the conservatives are clearly in the minority of in the arts. I don't think there's any question about that, that the conservative point of view is either not seen or mocked. And I think it needs to be among those who are viable. And I don't want to pass legislation. I don't want to call my congressman and say, hey, you need to support conservative theater. What I want to do is have conservative theater, through the forces of the market, be accepted and soon become commonplace. Because we conservatives have lost that battle right now. We're on the losing end, right? The arts are dominated by the left and leftist ways of thinking. We want to, if we're going to usurp that dominance and become a dominant voice ourselves, the only way we can do it is to provide quality plays that speak to people and culturally change the way people feel about conservatives and conservative theater. So I'm very excited that this is a new movement, I guess, because you don't hear much about it. I mean, if not for people like me and David Marcus and the many playwrights out there who are not household names other than our friend David Mamet, and we haven't ended our discussion of David Mamet, but other than David Mamet, who do we have? We have lots of grassroots voices. My job is to bring those grassroots voices to the forefront, and that's why I have had so many playwrights on, mostly from Cara Bluen's Theater Festival. Now, I can tell you that I'm working on a theater festival myself. I'd like to do a conservative theater festival here in Columbus, and so I'm trying to get that together. And if I do, not only will one of my more conservative plays be presented, but I would love to support the work of other playwrights out there, many of whom we talked to recently, like Don Milne, right, and C.J. Ehrlich, who may not be a conservative, but wrote that one piece that was very conservative in theme. And David Marcus himself, a playwright. So these are things that we need to pursue on Stage Right. So that's the purpose of this show, is to move that forward. When I started out, I really was spending a lot of time wondering what exactly conservative theater is. People still ask that question. What is conservative theater? What do you mean by conservative theater? Isn't theater conservative? I mean, it's all about making money. Well, I'm not equating conservatism with capitalism. There may be a natural equation there, but I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there are certain themes that are promoted in a conservative. And if we are, and I've said this a number of times on the show, if we are a center-right country, if the majority of the people in this country are really more conservative than they are liberal or progressive, then why doesn't our artistic culture demonstrate that, celebrate that? Why? And I've said this before, too. 1,000 years from now, when they study our culture, people from another planet came down and said, what's the culture? What was the culture of 21st century America in 2015? They would look at some of the plays that have that we've got and say, oh, wow, they were of the left. They were progressive. But again, we've heard that there is a whole country out there that's not. So that's the kinds of things we want to pursue here. And we're going to try everything we can to get the word out about conservative theater. So I almost feel as though I'm starting afresh here. And I guess in some way I am, because Rocky Benisher is now in retirement and Robert Cooperman is here. So next week when the show airs, it will no longer say with your host, Rocky Benisher. And I've been wanting to change that opening anyway because I'm bored with it, to be honest. So who am I? Again, I talked about who I am. I was born in Queens, New York. My family was not particularly political. I would imagine that my parents, being Depression era and a little later people, Greatest Generation kind of people, that my parents were Roosevelt Democrats if they had to be anything. I know there were some conservative streaks in there. My father was a very strong union man, however. My father was a shop steward for his organization. In the end, as most unions, of course, do, I imagine, they screwed him over. They were all about making, filling their own coffers and really don't care about the little people that they represent, except when it makes them sound good in sound bites. This is true, of course, of the left, right? They're really not protecting anybody, because God knows if they did, wouldn't we have so much less poverty today? Wouldn't we have so many fewer people on welfare? Wouldn't we have so many fewer people on food stamps? They've done nothing, spent a lot of money, and got us nowhere, really nowhere. Okay? So I didn't grow up political, but I did have certain feelings. So I'd have to say that my conservatism is rather innate. And I really, in high school, I was your typical liberal. But I was uncomfortable with it. And the example I always talk about is we had at school, I went to Jamaica High School, and we did a model Congress. It's a great exercise, and because goodness knows nobody knows how the government works today, and it certainly doesn't work the way our founders thought it should work. thank you, Obama. And we did this model Congress, so we had to join a political party, and there were conservatives, and there were Republicans, and there were Democrats, and there were some socialists, and whatever else is out there. And I remember that. The vast majority of students who participated in the Model Congress were Democrats. We were in, of course, New York City, where that's what you have to be. But to go along with my friends, because what the heck did I know? We joined the Democrats. But there was a massive amount of us. But there were these other people. There were some socialists, and who cares? But there were these the Republicans, and I remember being very interested in the Republicans. Because, first of all, they were made up of the intellectuals of our school. The valedictorian was part of that, And all those smart, geeky kids were part of that. And I was like, oh, wow. What do they know that we don't? Are they just arrogant? And I remember what we had to do in order to join a party, you were supposed to read the platform. And I did read it a little bit. And the platform for the Republican said at the time, now remember, this is 1979, 1980, the Republican platform at the Model Congress said, we will have no arms negotiations with the Soviets. And I remember being very scared of that. I was like, my God, how could you not want to to negotiate. We're going to go blow up, you know, because that was the pervasive fear, is that we're going to blow up. So I couldn't join them because they scared me. And today I realize what a silly proposition that was. By the time I got to college, though, I was very comfortable in my own skin at being a conservative, and decided that, you know, that's who I am. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm a conservative Democrat. You know, you have to hold on to that. You're in New York City. Have to hold on to that Democrat. And I remember once somebody who was truly conservative looked at me, what? So I then ultimately said, okay, I am a Republican. You know, that's the party, at least at the time, that best represents my point of view. And I felt better about being true to myself. And I stopped fearing the bomb. That was a wonderful thing. Part of my education, my evolution as a thinker here, I owe to a family member. I'm not going to name this family member because I don't want to name this person. I don't think that's fair without his or her permission. But I do have a family member who is a conservative thinker and a prominent one. And it was because of this person that I cut my teeth on conservatism and realized that these are things that I truly believe, and it was okay to believe them. And I had a family member, a close family member, who was doing well with this. And this person is still active today. So I felt very comfortable, and from then on, I was a Republican, a conservative, and that's how I was throughout my entire schooling. I got my BA in English and theater from Queens College, at the City University of New York, performed in many plays. I was an actor, I did some directing, and I wrote two original shows. I pretty much brought playwriting, put it on the map at Queens College. There was one person, I don't know who he is or was, who did put on something. And when I saw that, I said, A, this is garbage, and B, okay, if they can do his, they can do mine. And so we started that. And I've always been grateful to Queens College for allowing me the opportunity to do that. And of course, once I started writing plays and putting them on, everyone and his brother came out and started putting on these terrible plays. As I look back at the plays I wrote then, at least the first one, it was terrible. It's called In Praise of Joe Schmo. It had some good stuff in it, but it's terrible. You know, it's clearly an 18-year-old writing this. And that's, you know, and that's a lesson I learned early on, too. We only have about 2 minutes, but I'll tell you that I'm indebted at Queens College to the late Myron Matlaw, who was a professor there, who I once talked about being a playwright, and he said to me, how old are you, Bob? And he was about the only person I allowed to call me Bob. He says, how old are you, Bob? I said, I'm 18. He says, oh, that's a shame. He said, because you're never going to really write anything good until you're at least 40. And I remember that, and now I'm 52, and I think I'm finally writing something that's decent. And so he was right. And then I see all the trash that people are writing today, and I realize that, you know, boy, was he right. And I'll talk more next week, I think, about playwriting and my stance on it. But really, just to say is that I am proud to be a conservative, and I'm also proud to be someone who loves theater. And I get excited about theater. I'm happy to promote theater. And I want to hear voices in theater, but I want to hear those conservative voices. So if you're a conservative playwright, please reach out to me at stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. Already some have, and we've talked about some of the plays that people have written. As for me, I'm going to continue to try to promote conservative theater, produce conservative plays, and also write conservative plays that I hope will be produced out there. So, thank you for listening to me babbling on about who I am. This is Robert Cooperman. You've been listening to Stage Right. We'll be back next Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with a new show. We'll talk more about my stance on playwriting. But for now, I bid you a great week, and we are exiting Stage Right.